You're listening to the Homeschooling Families Podcast by Teach Them Diligently. Welcome. Every week, we bring you simple answers to help your homeschool family thrive. I'm Leslie Nunnery, and I am so glad you're here. A brand new homeschool year is upon us, and now is a great time to start implementing some new discipleship and parenting strategies that will help you make the most of every opportunity you're given this year. Our theme for the coming year is to go for the heart of your homeschool. So today, we wanted to give you some practical ways and helpful ideas for teaching your children diligently, both from a discipleship and an academic perspective, as we explore teamwork in homeschooling. We hope that the ideas we share today will help you come up with a whole bunch more of your own. Today's episode is brought to you by Samaritan Ministries. As parents, we know how quickly a medical need can arise. That's where Samaritan Ministries comes in, connecting Christians across the nation who help pay one another's medical bills. There are no networks. You choose the healthcare providers that best meet your needs. Medical needs are then sent to Samaritan Ministries, and they notify members to pray for and send money directly to you to help pay those bills. It's biblical, affordable, and you can join today. Learn more at SamaritanMinistries.org/teach-them-diligently. Again, that's SamaritanMinistries.org/teach-them-diligently. If you've been encouraged or helped by the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a note or leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and then share with others you know could benefit from the topics we discuss here. It's our prayer that God uses these episodes to encourage and strengthen families all around the world, so we're always grateful for help in spreading the word. This episode was previously recorded and pulled from our podcast vault. We actually recorded this outside, so you're likely to hear the birds and train that provide some of the soundtrack of our lives. But if you're looking for parenting tips and ideas, you definitely don't want to miss this week's chat. I'm so glad you're here. So let's dive right in. In my devotions this morning, I happened to be in Judges, and I was reading at the first part of Judges where it says how evil the people got. They forgot what God had done. And it dawned on me just how perfect that was for what we were going to talk about today, because the very people who had been given the directive to teach them diligently by Moses straight from God did not do it. And it caused huge problems for the nation of Israel. And so it really, really shows us just how important it is in our daily lives, in our families, to teach our children diligently, to pass on that love for God, to help them understand why they believe what they believe. So David and I are going to talk to you today about a few ideas that we have done that now that we've got a little bit of a rearview mirror situation going on, as our kids are getting a little bit bigger, we've really seen the benefit of some of these ideas. And a lot of them, we just did them. We weren't actually thinking, oh, this is a great way to teach them diligently. It's just stuff that God kind of brought to our minds and we did, but they really are great ways to teach them diligently. For the first thing though that I wanted to throw out is those of you with littles, one of the most important things that you can do to teach your children diligently is to listen to them. Build that relationship with them. Help them to know that even when they're talking about something that really doesn't interest you, you know, we had a son that would talk on and on and on about Legos, and I love him dearly, but I couldn't care less about Legos, except the fact that he loves them. But because that became very important to me when he was young, now that he is a teenager, he is very comfortable talking to me still about things that are important to him. So lay that foundation while your children are young of listening to them. Help them know that their thoughts are important. I really think that is a great secret of why we have such a good relationship with our children now, is we just liked hanging out with them when they were little. We really enjoyed talking to them, and it pays off in the long run. getting into some specific things, though, that we have done, I wanted David to tell you about something that he started doing with the boys as they were getting older. And I think that this is a really great thing, especially for those of us that have larger families. So you want to make sure as your kids are getting older, they're getting more individual attention, that you're actually, you know, dealing with issues that are theirs alone. So, David, what did you do with the boys that has really been a great tool as we teach them diligently?
Well, I think that it's really measured in time. I mean, there's no one way to actually teach your kids and disciple your kids. And so some of the ideas that we have, some of you may actually have better ideas.
Oh, yeah, no
and that's
question.
That's completely fine. Matter of fact, you probably ought to share those on the Facebook page.
That'd be great.
And talk about those sort of things that you are doing. But, you know, when you look at the verses there in Deuteronomy, it doesn't talk about having a specified, okay, now we have Bible time.
Right.
It's putting the verses on your wall and talking to them when you lie down and during those in-between times. And I think it's important to realize that your kids are always watching you. Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the things that we did is we measured it in just time, just spending time with the kids. And I remember early on, you and I always made a point to actually have time with each individual child. We'd go on what we call dates. And so we kind of took that as they got older, and I go out with the boys every single week
right.
for lunch. Now, some weeks we miss, but we try to go out and have lunch together on a regular basis, and I'll allow them to pick the location or where it is. It usually revolves in some way around hamburgers because they love hamburgers. And we'll just go out for an hour, hour and a half, and we'll talk. The other thing is just making sure that you have common interests with them. And so I think that there's a great scene in the movie Courageous where the mom is talking to the main character in the movie. The dad is talking about spending time with his son building a shed. And that's fine, and we don't want to have lazy sons, but her point was the son loves to run cross country, and you need to start running with him to spend time with something that he loves to do. Mm-hmm. And so I love basketball, so this is not a burden at all, but I spend time with Camden playing basketball. I used to spend time and still spend some time with Peyton building Legos. Mm-hmm. Legos is hard for you, but I love it.
I took a slightly different approach with the girls. We never set up a time every week where we were really trying to hang out together. Instead, a couple of years ago, I started doing birthday trips with the girls, and they're able to choose where we go. We have gone to Charleston. We've gone to Biltmore, generally just places that we can drive pretty easily, but it gives us a solid 24, 36 hours where we are able to just go off, enjoy the road trip, sing songs and dance in the car or whatever it is that we're doing, and then do something really special together. Plus, we get to, you know, stay in the hotel together, and sometimes we'll watch a movie or do whatever girly thing we want to do. But that gives some of the most incredible, compact, powerful time with each girl that I'm afforded all year long. And it's something that we all look forward to. The car ride provides just really natural opportunities for us while we're having fun and hanging out together to talk about some stuff. And then we're sharing experiences. Being with just one child for that long at a time really does open doors that it's hard to have open when you're drawn in so many different directions, having, you know, a number of children. So that's been one way that just finding that time that it's looked a little bit different between how David handles it with the guys and me with the girls. Now, with all of them, though, on any given afternoon, you'll find one of them coming and asking for a date. Sometimes that's a drive. Sometimes that's lunch. But we have a very open door policy with our dating one another, because those are times when they know they're going to get that one-on-one time. We can discuss whatever's on their heart. And by God's grace, now that they're older, they're very proactive about letting us know when they need that time. And I really do believe that that was born on the backs of us being so keyed into it when they were younger, that when we felt like someone was kind of flying under the radar, we always went after them. We always made a point to isolate and spend some time with that child. And now they really feel it when they're not getting that time. So as we've grown, that's been a really cool thing of how that time element has really changed with our children.
I will go into the Lego aisle and just spend a lot of time with him, looking at the Legos and talking about the new ones that are coming out. And I guess the point is, behind that, whatever it is that you find a common point of interest and you actually develop a relationship with your kids through those things, right? Whatever it might be, karate, whatever, yep. Music. But the other thing to remember on that is that your kids are constantly watching you.
Exactly.
So they may notice a situation that they view as very difficult or very hard, and they're watching to see how you handle it.
Well, it's like you said last week when you quoted that you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are, and you're doing that through daily interaction, daily being watched.
That's right.
Those common interests and so many things that you're just naturally spending time with your children.
And I think it's also important to be willing to apologize for your kid, to
Absolutely.
Your kids. And that's something that a pastor told us years ago, and it has really stuck with us how important that is, because it's really counterintuitive,
right?
Because you think that in front of your kids, you need to keep it all together, that you have to handle everything perfectly, that you need to handle what they're doing perfectly, and if you show any kind of weakness, especially when you're disciplining them in some way, that it's a sign of weakness and you're not really sure, and the lack of confidence could actually undermine what you're doing. And the truth is that when you mess up, circling back around to them and actually saying sorry, is it does a lot of good, and it really exhibits to them what it means to be humble.
Exactly.
And not allowing pride to take root in you.
Well, it gives you a great opportunity to share what the Lord is teaching you through that
Absolutely.
Failure, which is another very natural way to teach them diligently, just sharing what God is doing. And that actually leads into another thing that we do regularly is, now our children have co-op a couple of days a week now that they're getting older, but on the days that they don't, we start our mornings by just coming together, talking about our day, getting a plan for the day and so on. But we always go around and share what we learned in our devotions, and that gives me a chance to share what God is doing in me, as well as gives them a little bit of accountability for actually having their time with God, building that habit, but then allows them to share what God is teaching them. And it's a great way to get insight into what your children are thinking and how they're growing, if they're growing, and kind of get an idea of different things that you may want to pinpoint in those times that you specifically spend alone with them, just kind of bringing that kind of stuff back up in conversation.
I think they need to see that you're growing.
No question.
And again, you reproduce who you are. If they see a contradiction in you, and so you're stagnant and you're
right.
not growing, you're not having devotions, they never see you pray, that you never talk about what the Lord is doing in your life, then they're actually going to take that on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to see that consistency, and they need to see that you're growing. And one of the ways that you can exhibit that is just by talking about it around the table, yep. at dinner time, right after church. I mean, whatever it might be, it may be 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but it makes a huge difference, because as long as they know that you're growing, first of all, it exhibits God's real.
Right.
Because he's impacting you.
Yep.
And then they actually take what you are learning and they start applying it to their lives, because especially when they're very young, they are their relationship with the Lord and with Jesus Christ actually is through you in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways. They're learning. They're kind of getting their feet under them. When they can't read, when they can't really study on their own, they're hearing all of this from you. They're hearing how you're growing. Another thing that we have done, again, it's just conversational. It's just average day and stuff, is every Sunday after church, while we're sitting around having our lunch together, we'll go around the table and talk about what the Lord taught us that morning.
Sure.
And again, it gives the kids great insight into what God is talking to David and I about, but it also gives us great insight into what the Lord is talking to them about. And it gives them the accountability of
Absolutely.
Knowing they're going to be asked about it. So they need to be engaging with what pastor is saying or what the preacher is preaching about and so on. And that has been just a really great thing. We end up having very long Sunday lunches because the conversation is so good. And it's not all serious. A lot of it goes into fun. But you get a lot of insight into what's going on in your children's hearts just by those natural interactions with them. We are getting very low on time. I'm realizing as we're talking that we're going to have to do more of these because there's so many little things that you can do that will have such an impact on your children's lives. Are there any others that you want to throw out? Put him on the spot.
Yeah. I would just say that when our kids were younger, we noticed that they were, for whatever reason, that they were more rebellious, that they seemed a little bit harsher.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, just naturally, the first thing that we would think of is, I need to spend more time
right.
with that child.
We need to get to the root of what's actually causing this fruit that we're seeing.
Absolutely. And so we would just spend time with them. And it may be just purely that they miss you and
yep.
they are feeling a little jealous or
insecure,
they feel
or whatever.
Yeah. And we really saw a lot of fruit from just spending time with the kids during those times, is that when they would get a little bit of rebellious and it would be something light, or we would notice that the response we were getting from them was just a little bit
harder edge.
We would always make a point to take them out and spend a little time with them, give them a response that was softer and not hard.
Right.
Because we could have just jumped all over
them.
Yeah, but and we did do that some.
Sure.
Sometimes more than others, and sometimes.
Well, sometimes the situation merited it.
Absolutely. So I don't want to say that that's a bad thing, because sometimes your children need that. But it's surprising how many times just giving them a soft answer and response would soften their heart and make them. We would get the response out of them that we were looking for.
Yeah. One of the things that we have always tried to incorporate into our parenting, really, and even in our relationship with each other, is the principle that questions soften the heart, whereas accusations harden the will. So if we can question, if we can try to get to the root of what's going on, if we can try to see what is actually below the surface there, by just seeking information rather than just jumping out and dealing with the fruit that we're seeing straight out of the gate, that has really, really paid off a lot in helping us get a deeper understanding of our children and also resolving things in a way that they are very teachable at heart, instead of really just kind of hardening and putting up walls. That is not to say that there isn't some fruit that you don't need to punish immediately, but that's not what this video is about.
Now, I know that as we've talked through this, some of you have probably questioned how you even get started. How do you know how to approach these conversations? How do you tie things in? And so we've actually created this year a family discipleship guide that will help you either in your personal devotions or with your family. It's set up for family devotions as well. Go through the entire narrative of the Bible, just reading one chapter a day. So you're not going to read every chapter, but you'll get through a lot of the Bible and all of the primary points. But you'll have one chapter a day. If you download the discipleship guide that goes along with it, then that will give you a little bit of context for the passage. But then every single day comes with discipleship conversation, meditation, different ideas to engage your children. But just really different ways to help you start thinking through the Bible, through the lens of using those passages in the discipleship of your children. I would love for you to pick that up. You can go to teachthemdiligently.net/family discipleship guide to pick up your copy. I'll also link it down below. But again, there is a Bible reading schedule. There's a Bible memory schedule where it's a passage a week or sometimes two passages a week that your family can work on together. And then there are discipleship conversation type guides for every single week of the year. We're rolling those out a little bit at a time. So you may have to keep coming back to the well to get more, but they're there, they're offered for free. And I hope that you find this just a really great resource for you as you are really sharpening your discipleship skills, really getting your children and yourself in the Word more, and starting to learn how to tie what you're reading in God's Word into your everyday conversation in a very natural way. Because Teach Them Diligently Parenting should be a very natural overflow of what God is doing in your own life. And that is our prayer for all of you. So we are out of time for today. I hope that the tips and the things that David and I have gone through today have been very helpful for you. I hope that we will get to see you very soon at a Teach Them Diligently this spring or through Teach Them Diligently 365 so that we can continue these types of conversations all year long. Thank you for joining us today. We believe that every family is called to teach them diligently, so we're here to help. We would love to get to know you this year at one of our four live Teach Them Diligently events, and then throughout the year when you become part of the Teach Them Diligently 365 community. Check out the notes from today's show for more details about what we discussed today, as well as all of these other resources that Teach Them Diligently has to offer. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.